February 1, 2023. It's a Watt from Pedro show. Started off the show. In fact, the rain is gone. We got some sun.
Beautiful blue skies today.
Yeah. You know, this guy moved from New York City, Juan Rosenfeld. He's telling me, wait, you're selling me on this SoCal thing. Why is it cold? I said, it's cold. I guess it was a little chilly, a little wind. 60, compared to the rest of the country.
About 60 today. That's cold enough for me. Sorry, folks.
Anyway, we start off the show with Fran Dance. This is Miles Davis live at Newport Jazz Festival 1958 with John Coltrane. And then eye rolls with lips cracked dry. Because of those Estonian software engineers with their Skype invention, I got all the way from Maryland. Zoe, welcome aboard.
Hello, Zoe.
Thank you for having me, Mike.
Absolute. You know what I'd like, Zoe? Please bring your earliest musical recollection.
My earliest musical recollection. All right.
Remember, it's a Watford Pedro show. There's no hard questions. There's no wrong answers.
Fair enough. I grew up in, I guess, a fairly musical household. My dad was really into... I grew up in Brooklyn, New York. My dad was super into the theater. So, like, Robert Wilson was, like, his favorite thing ever. So, like, lots of Einstein on the beach. But, like, also lots of show tunes and, like, you know, traditional opera and stuff like that.
Einstein on the beach. So wasn't Einstein on the beach filmed Glass?
Yeah, yeah. But it was a Robert Wilson theatrical production.
That's right. I remember just the soundtrack. They used to play it on Carl Stone had a show on KPFK in the 70s called Imaginary Landscape. Mm. And they would play that. It's an incredible piece. So was your pop a listener, or did he also play?
Just a listener.
So the pad you grew up in Brooklyn, there was no musical instruments?
There was a piano.
Did you get on that piano, or did you have to also go through the ordeal of the piano lessons?
I had to go through that ordeal, but I started with violin, weirdly enough.
Well, I ask that because some people were almost chased away from music because of the piano lesson adventure or torture, whatever. And I think, well, the consensus is it's usually the teacher. It's not the piano itself. It's like some cats ain't got skills.
Yeah, I had a pretty decent teacher, but I was the cat without skills.
Yeah, but that's why you're learning.
Yeah, eternally.
Okay, yeah, you know what? That's an excellent philosophy. Life is a classroom. Yep. Yeah, 12th grade.
Lifelong learners.
Yeah. Brother Matt, that's coming from Teacher of the Year several times, Brother Matt. Great. Zoe, what about at school? Were you in the choir, the marching band, or shit like that?
Yeah, in, like, grade school, I was in the choir until they kicked me out for being tone deaf.
Okay.
The choir, our school, I went to Brooklyn Friends School, which was not really a friends school. I don't know. It was a weird situation. But, like, the choir director there sort of, like, usurped the choir and took it private for this thing called the Brooklyn Youth Chorus, which basically just, like, sang a bunch of functions for, like, Rudy Giuliani and stuff like that.
The horror.
Rudy's house band.
Yeah, so in retrospect, it ended up being, like, a good thing to get kicked out, I guess.
Let me ask you this, Zoe. First album you bought with your own money, please.
I guess that would probably be... at the same time, I bought Nirvana's Live Unplugged album and an Aerosmith Greatest Hits album.
Yeah, because when you're a kid, you ain't got a lot of money. That's why I asked that question. And what was the first gig you saw?
Like, non-classical?
No, music is music. Fuck that genre shit. This is how Watt is learning.
Probably like a young people's concert at Lincoln Center or something like that.
Lincoln Center? Yeah. Manhattan. John Coltrane had some intense gigs there. Maybe one. Like, people left because he was letting everybody come up play with him. You don't do that shit. I ain't paid some shit. I ain't paid to see some guy get a lesson. So I'm on the eighth book now, Ben Ratliff.
Oh, wow.
Okay. Yeah, I've been reading a lot of biographies on John Coltrane. So let me ask you this, Zoe. The violin, how far did you go with that?
Not far. Standing is my enemy. I'm disabled. So after like a year and a half, I was like, oh, I do not have the posture to actually hold this thing up and play it properly. And that's when it was like, okay, piano time. I can sit down and do this.
What about when you put it on your arm and it turns from violin to fiddle?
If I had had a teacher who had perhaps been a little less classically inclined, maybe that would have been a thing. But no, he was really traditional.
And, what about not after school, like graduating, but afternoon, the bedroom band, the garage band, the basement band? Did you ever get into stuff like that?
Yeah. In junior high, I had a little basement band kind of deal.
What were you playing? Whose basement?
My basement, and that's sort of when I made the leap from piano to drums, which is sort of where I stayed.
Ah! Okay, what gave you that notion?
Well, there weren't many drummers And I had some sense of rhythm from banging at the piano.
Yeah.
So I was just sort of like, well, you know, why not give it a try?
Well, how'd you get your first drum set?
I played on a practice pad for like 5 years while saving up and bought my first drum set when I was like 13, 14.
And you got to play in your basement, so your parents were pretty bitching about that.
Yeah, yeah, they were surprisingly accommodating.
Yeah, and usually it's the, especially when we're teenagers and shit, it's usually the drummer's pad that the prac pad is, because, yeah, it's setting up and tearing down and shit.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, these bands, were they jam bands, or did they end up getting names? Did they do gigs? Did you guys compose stuff?
We did not play any shows. They never really left the basement. A couple of them had names, and we wrote some songs. I think the one name that I remember was Novocaine. We went under that for a while, and then changed it to something else, because we all agreed that was terrible.
Now, how many people were in this band?
There were three of us.
Power Trio. Now, you being the drummer, and you know the tradition is, drummers don't write songs, which is bullshit in my book. Like, Chico Hamilton couldn't even get songwriting credits. I guess the notes last too short or something. Motherfuckers. But this hierarchy thing, you were involved with the composition of Novocaine songs, though, correct?
Oh, yeah. I, much to everyone else's displeasure, would not be unincluded. Yeah, I insisted.
Did it go not just for the instrumental music part, but the words?
Yeah, yeah, lyrics were definitely I'm going to say contribution.
Because in the Minutemen, George Hurley wrote some of our greatest words. I think the drummer has kind of a perspective on that the other cats don't. And you know, it's rhythm music. So really, the drummer's the only one not in denial. We're the fucking Paganinis with a cape on. Shit like that. Playing fucking melodies with 10 million notes before they repeat. I mean, give me a break. We played little rhythm parts. We're all... The biggest mistake Minutemen made was having George Hurley in the back. We had him up front, down stage. Like I do the last 20 years with my drummers. I just... In fact, if I was like... made school Fuhrer or some shit, that would be one of the requirements of graduating, was learn drums. Mm. The other one was learn, go see some other countries.
Yeah.
Those two things. Yeah, now you can graduate. You gave me this, some more eye rolls. Wasted. I wish I was, Sally.
I wish I was, Sally. Let me tell you, weird things are happening to me.
Negro Show. Started that chunk music out. Eye rolls. Doing Wasted. I wish I was Sally. No, I wish I was, comma, Sally. Very important. Very important. That's how, in The Prisoner, you know who number one is.
Yeah.
Right? That fucking comma. My favorite TV show when I was a boy. After that, GAS Drummers. Ya no siento los copas. Tim Hecker after that, brand new Lotus Light, Guided by Voices, Bob Pollard, got another album out.
Shit. Almost every week.
Yeah,
huh?
Every other week. Excited Ones, Bad Reputation after that, Merchandise. Yeah, I've always wanted to write a song about that. And Death Tape, now I know this cat's out of Milwaukee. Death Tape Super Bass, Alex. Horrible Old Men is the tune. And then Eye Rolls, Come Back When You're Ready to Fuck Around. That's a great title.
Yeah, I got some cool titles.
Yeah, I saw a great highway sign. Welcome to Fuck Around. Next exit, come find out or some shit. Hang around and find out or something. Yeah. Okay. Zoe, back to your story, your journey through music. So, like, these are prac bands. That's like me and D. Boom, except you guys were writing your own shit. And in the 70s, you just tried to copy songs off records like idiots. Or karaoke careers. Or I don't know what the fuck that was about. But, curious. When do you play your first gig?
I guess that... Other than, like, like high school orchestra kind of stuff. I guess that would have been college.
And the orchestra stuff, you mean you lasted on violin enough to do those gigs?
No, that was percussion in high school.
There ain't a trap kit, but you're playing, like, triangle and stuff like that. Timpani.
There were some where it had a full kit, but, yeah, mostly timpani. That was my gig.
You know that, you know, a trap kit, you know where that comes from, right?
No, I don't know where that term comes from.
Yeah, a lot of drummers don't know. Well, you know, it was invented in New Orleans. Contraption. They just fucking put it together. It was never really some inventor came up with it. It was just musician cats just adding shit to their little thing. Contraption. Like, for example, the hi-hat wasn't on a stand. It was by the deck, and you worked it with a pedal. It was called the sock cymbal. And you'll hear it in old, like, ragtime ship. That's a pedal. They didn't play it with the stick. And so tom-toms came from China and gongs and all these kind of weird things. And it became like a contraption.
Wow.
Okay. Like one of your bands, like post-Novocaine.
That's when things got kind of like, I guess, absurdist is the word.
That's all right. I think that's right.
I went to art school and like everybody was, you know, trying to be as pretentious as possible, myself included.
Okay.
So, I think the band I was in for most of college was called Snuggle Bunnies, which is a reference to Berkeley Breathed in Wayne County. I don't know. Anyway,
some kind of furry thing? Is it like a furry thing?
It's, like, supposed to be a curse word.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Pejorative, yeah, okay.
There you go.
And, So Snuggle Bunnies, was that your first gig, was with them cats?
Yeah.
Okay, tell me about the first gig, because you only have your first gig once, maybe.
Yeah, so it was in this, like, tiny little concrete art space, and there were probably more of us on stage than there were in the audience.
Yeah, we call those character builders.
That's a polite way of putting it.
No, like when IBM or some corporation fires all these Dale fire dudes, they just create new job seekers. Fucking spin control, right? Yeah, airbrush reality is some bullshit. Anyway, so you guys outnumbered the crowd, but would you still consider the gig a success?
In that we all showed up and started and stopped at the same time, yeah. Definitely.
And what was the band like? Were you the drummer, man?
I was, yeah. Okay. So the lineup after the first show was completely different and sort of solidified. But for the first show, I think we had me on drums, this guy Ethan Brown on flute and vocals, and then someone on viola da gamba, someone on cello, a saxophonist, a trombonist, a guitarist or two.
It's an ensemble. So you move from the power trio to all these different voices. But you say this only lasts one gig, then it changes lineup again?
Yeah, then we solidified into a quartet kind of thing with bass, drums, guitar, and flute.
Of course. I remember I saw Golden Earring, you know, they had this big Radar Love Rocks. And they were actually a prog band. That was the only rock song to get on the radio or something. Yeah, the singer whooped out a flute. Anyway, enough about me. What about Snuckle Buddies? Did they end up recording?
I think we did, yeah.
Because you didn't send me.
What happened to those?
Okay. Yeah, I'd be curious how things evolve for you. And then how long does this band go as far as college goes?
Yeah, that lasted through college.
And did you, for college work, is it part of your musical education? Or is it a different field?
I technically studied liberal arts. I mostly goofed off a bunch. I definitely took full advantage of access to the campus's electronic music studio.
Yeah.
So
what campus?
Sarah Lawrence College.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. And, yeah, well, you took advantage. You made use. You made it important that they had those assets. Otherwise, it'd be, just shit orders, right? Well, they got to share with Zoe. Okay, and so this, I was wondering how the drums kind of worked into this, because a lot of the music you gave me, it's hard to hear the drums. It sounds like a lot of electronics. So you start gravitating towards these kind of instruments for your musical expression?
Yeah, I have been fascinated with, non-musicians for a really long time. And so the two big formative influences there are like the Residents and Brian Eno. And just that whole attitude of like, there's this big box with knobs on it, and I don't know what any of them do, so I'm just going to see what I can do to make it scream in pain.
Yeah. Residents. Well, Brian Eno, maybe not so much pain, or a very kind of relaxed pain, ambient pain. But Residents, yeah, Third Reich and Roll, Duck Stab, yeah, really good stuff. You know their story, right? They came from, I think, Shreveport or Lafayette in Louisiana. Mm. And moved up to the city, like, in 1970. Mm. Yeah, incredible cats. I think only Homer's left. Because Hardy moved on. And the original two actually split off later. But, be surprised how many cats on the show cite them as influences. Because they were bold pioneers.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And what about the more traditional, not traditional because they played way out music, but Carl Heinz Stockhausen and Martin Subotnick and those kind of people? Were you into those? Wendy Carlos?
Oh, definitely, yeah.
Okay.
The dude who ran the electronic music studio at Sarah Lawrence, this guy John Unelli, worked really closely with Merce Cunningham a bunch. Yeah, so there was a direct connection to a lot of Fluxus influence there, and definitely a lot of Carlos influence. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and Robert Ashley as well.
And probably Cagey and thinking and stuff. Yeah, concepts and stuff. Yeah, that's so great.
Oh, yeah, lots of allegory.
I really think that's a big part of the punk scene. Because I go back to the 70s version, and stuff like Throb and Gristle, totally informed by that. We're at the end of the first hour, February 1, 2023, edition What Pete Rush with special guest Zoe, Brother Matt. We'll take hour two.
Yeah.
February 1, 2023. It's the second hour of the Watt for Pedro show.
Thank you. Thank you.
for Peter. She'll start off the second hour. Eye rolls, doing this parenthetically, a possible title. Brain. Then we had Daniel Pereira. This is brand new stuff that, from a big festival up in Eugene, Oregon. New music. Groupthink from Daniel Pereira. That's it. Pereira, right? Two R's. Gonna roll that shit. Shelby Rassler with As the Clouds Gather. And this is all live at this festival. Jesse Laus with Hidden Variables. And Gracie Fagan with B-Movie. And then Cops Paint. Coops. Is that spelled right? C-O-P-S-E?
Yep.
Okay. So, I'm too ignorant to know that word. Okay. What's copse mean?
Like a group of trees?
It's a group of trees.
Yes, a small group of trees. There you go.
Tiny forest?
Yeah, or a little a grove?
Yeah,
Grove. Okay. Well, tell me about eye rolls. How does eye rolls get happening?
Very gradually, I guess, is the answer.
Well, okay, then let's continue at the school, because you're getting into electronics there.
Yeah, I was playing drums in a couple of bands at the same time, but basically after graduation, it became really hard to do anything musically in an ensemble. I stayed in a band in New York for like another year afterwards, and then moved down to Maryland and was like on my own. So started doing solo stuff, and that gradually took on the name Eye Rolls.
And why is that? Where did you discover Eye Rolls would be the perfect moniker?
Well, it is definitely reflective of me being a sarcastic motherfucker.
Oh, rolling your eyes. I get it. Like somebody says something, you roll your fucking eyes. Like, yeah, right.
Yeah, pretty much. And also the idea of, like, eyes rolling back in ecstasy or, like, rolling on the ground. You know, just, like, evocative. I don't know.
Bisco, right? And the Mexican slang, I think a cross-eyed person they call bisco.
That's...
Yeah, that's not really an eye roll. Sorry. Usually eyes roll together, right?
Would I? Yeah,
like chameleon rock, right? Autonomous eyeball. Can you remember the first eye rolls gig?
Yeah, it was not too long ago. I guess that was back in summer 2021.
Wow, it is recent. Okay, so up to this point, you were Zoe.
Yeah, I was working under Eye Rolls for about, I don't know, the better part of a decade before that. Figured out a way to do it live.
So Eye Rolls was only a recording project first?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Do you remember the first time you developed something as Eye Rolls? Was it using that stuff at the school?
The first time it was, like, intentionally as under the name Eye Rolls, or, like, the first solo stuff I remember doing?
Yeah. Well, was there a gradual transition, or was it right away?
I worked under a few other names for a long time. I was doing solo stuff from, I guess as part of my coursework. My thesis project was this, like, 40-minute music concrete piece thing, I don't know. And then I just sort of never stopped really working on stuff. I just called it different things for a while, and Eye Rolls was the name that stuck.
Okay. And then, what, 2 years ago, you decided, I'm going to start doing gigs with this stuff.
Yeah, I hadn't really, I had been sort of working towards it right before the pandemic. I know you've released stuff on Cuneiform, so I don't know if you're familiar with Rhizome.
No. Henry Kaiser turned me on. That's a great cat there that runs that label. He has some wild acts.
Yeah.
And I've had several guests on the show. And, God, I just had a bass player from Chicago on. Yeah, really interesting people. And cuneiform, we should tell the listeners, is a way of writing, you know? So it, in a way, it's a perfect name for a label that's pretty adventurous. And so,
yeah,
so what's your connection with him? He's D.C. area, right?
Yeah, he's based just outside D.C. as well, a few miles north. And he is heavily involved with this art space called Rhizome. Which
Rhizome.
Is technically in D.C., but it's like right on the border of D.C. and Maryland.
Okay.
It's run out of this little funky house. And basically,
His name is Steve, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, Steve Feigenbaum, yeah.
Right, Feigenbaum, yeah, yeah. Good guy, good guy.
I think I pronounced that correctly.
I know, it's tricky, yeah. But it's interesting. And he does some music himself, huh? Somebody was telling me that.
Yeah, I haven't heard any of his stuff, at least not any recent stuff. I heard some stuff he did with the Muffins back in the day. That was cool.
That's right, Muffins. Yeah, somebody was telling me about. I've had like 10 or 11 of his acts on, and all good. All good from all over the country, and some foreign countries too, some Swiss cats. And so anyway, so you're, that first Iroh's gig was at the Rhizome space?
Yeah, yeah. I had tried to get involved there before the pandemic, but that sort of fell apart because of the pandemic. And so then like a year and a half later, I circled back around. I actually ended up going back there because of a bassist who, you were talking about, was Luke Stewart the bassist you were talking about from Chicago?
No, it was Marky. Oh, God damn.
Fair enough.
Yeah, my memory, because I told you I have a lot of cats all the time. I just played some of his music on the last episode, in fact. Jesus Christ. And he's actually a stand-up guy, but he plays. I played something with him on electric. But let me see here if I can get my fucking memory thing going. Playlist. But I don't remember the name Luke.
Well, Luke Stewart was the name of the artist in question, who's a fantastic bassist from, okay. I believe, Chicago. Thought it would be too funny of a coincidence if that were the person you'd been talking to.
It's the third biggest town, so there's a lot of cats living there. I was conceived
there's
there.
There's probably more than one person there who plays bass. Yeah.
Okay. Shit. God, I wish my mind should be better about this. But maybe it was three shows ago. Let me look at here. So anyway, what's the connection? You know, Nick Macri. His name is Nick Macri. Macri. And he's good too. But you know, there's room, always room for more bass players who can fucking do it. So I'm into it. So the Luke cat, he was one of the reasons why, you wanted to collaborate with him?
No, I just caught the show there, and it was one of the wildest things I had seen, and hadn't really been aware that there was a space down here that actively booked experimental music, because DC is pretty straight-laced when it comes to things like that.
Yeah.
Baltimore less so. But
right,
DC.
Baltimore, I've had some cats on, like, what's his name, Dore? You know him?
Door?
Yeah. He's got something called a prodge. Man, he plays some wild ass music. And then there was some cat had a warehouse there when he was putting on gigs. I think he just moved recently. But yeah, Baltimore's got a scene that's Mold Omens from Baltimore, and they play some wild ass music. There is an experimental scene there.
Yeah, there is.
So Do you end up getting to play Rhizome when things got a little looser?
Yeah, I got to play there August 21-ish, I guess, and got to play outdoors, so that was pretty cool. It was, like, lots of cicadas that day, so...
They're loud, huh?
Sort of incorporate them into the show.
One time I was in Tokyo, I thought there was fucking construction going on next door. I mean, it sounds like circular saws and grinders and shit. They call them semis there. Huh. Yeah, Mike's son. Semis have 5 songs. I don't think I heard all 5 of them. I mean, it was like a construction team. I could not believe it was insect sounds. Yeah. So you incorporated them into the piece. That's beautiful. That's beautiful. That's what a musician does. You know, you bring the gig to the band, not the band to the gig. Look, we're going to get back to your journey through music, but we got Brother Matt's Spin Cycle.
Yeah. Roll it up. Here's a little something Dirk handed off before he hit the road.
Hanging at a party, getting loose and having fun. She was flashing tartan. Checks her hair. The punch is loaded. Icy fridge is dead. My stepping mama tells me she's on the line. Backbeat emotion.
Yeah. down my mind and left me with a weight. She won't let me find the time. We're making way for money and lay it all right on the line. Inside these fever dreams, you'll find me sweating through the night. You know it's cold in this old motel room. The TV's broken, so am I. I wish I had a drink of water, or even better still, some wine. It's this damned old fever dreaming. Keep me losing track of time. I'm lost again out on the highway, like I've been 1,000 times. These damned old fever dreams left me hanging on the phone, dragged me through the foggy morning to a place where no one's home. If I just had a drink of water, or even better still, some wine, I could break this lonesome fever and find my way back to the light. Sweating through the
Dirk. Let's blame Dirk.
Let's blame him.
He gave me that CD, and that started the Americana thing.
Was he the drummer man on that?
You know, I don't know. I don't know.
Because he was a seatbelter.
Yeah, I remember he was. Point. Yeah, we ended up with seatbelts.
A lot about clothes, he told me.
And,
that was about clothes. Every day's Halloween.
Yeah, they got a new album. Scott just recorded, I think, so maybe new seatbelt coming. So, yeah, so there you have it.
He's Strong Beach, right?
I think he's over there now, but Pedro, dude.
But Pedro, I know.
Yeah.
I think it's Alto.
Yeah, he was old school. Yeah.
Peter Tudor.
Yeah, those party bands.
Yeah. Pete Petico Steve.
Yeah. You got to get Pete back. He's doing the Monsters on Vacation.
Jared Trevor, two times.
Yeah, killer.
End of the second hour, February 1, 2023. Just watch Pedro's show. Hold tight for hour three.
Yeah.
February 1, 2023. It's the third hour of the Watch for Pedro's show.
Thank you.
Watch for Pedro show start off the third hour. It's Eye Rolls doing Life Without Water. Head Boggle after that. East Bay, Oaktown. Some live Head Boggle with Hot Dog Cart. And then Eye Rolls with Fugue. Rest of the title, Incomprehensible. In parentheses, people. I like that. Embedding the little infos inside the infos. So, I didn't really get to find out whether that first gig was exciting. But you say you just played there in the summer outside, and that was bitching. What was the first gig for Eye Rolls?
It was opening for, well, I guess it was like second of three experimental acts. One guy, I forget the name he was working under. He conducts a lot of synth building workshops, but also did this bass duo thing that was really, really cool. And the person who opened it, Spleen Coffin, runs this fantastic label out of Baltimore and did some tape loop stuff. So I sort of, I guess, filled the gap between them, doing something that was sort of improvisatory, but also, like, used the environment around me.
You know, so, you mentioned that cat building synthesizers. Did you get into doing that?
I have dabbled a little bit with building my own electronics. I use some stuff that I have circumvent or made myself, but I cannot say that I am skilled enough in electronics to, like, full-on build pedals or modules or anything like that.
And the stuff, and like, say that first gig there, did you bring your drum set or did you bring only electronics?
Only electronics.
Okay, so live
eye... I keep my stuff pretty lightweight.
Yeah, live eye rolls is pretty kind of, okay, yeah. Man, drums is such, when they get that solved where you can just, like, whip out a like a carpet and
roll it.
Oh yeah.
Roll it out. You know?
A second.
The drum
right,
roll.
That must be so bitching. But you consider the gig was a success. If you said you fit in and stuff. Of course people they want the same band three times, but you're saying like it was all copacetic.
Yeah, I think the bill hung together well. Yeah. And none of my setup caught fire or melted down and stopped working.
Okay, success. What about touring? Does Eye Rolls tour?
Not yet. I don't know. It's only really been a pandemic thing.
Right. Only 2 years. Know. But some cats I know with electronic situations, they can carry in like a little sack, a little suitcase or shit.
Yeah, that's sort of what I've got. Everything fits in a backpack.
Yeah, a backpack. Yeah, wax that. I like that. And, look, you gave me this, landlocked, you know, us Pedro, we're a harbor town, so it's kind of exotic for us.
Thank you. Thank you.
Watch for Pedro Show Last Music for this edition. Start the chunk of music off with iRolls doing Landlocked. Bob Stanger with Evan Lipson and Mike Begetta doing Immediate, part 2 of 2. In brackets, not even parentheses. Going another level down, Brother Matt. Red. Got the fucking Rojo. Mike Begetta, of course, the MSSV boss.
Yeah, hey, Mike.
Right. And then finally, this is a collab. Eye Rolls with Earthflesh doing Elemental Atrocities. I guess it was an excerpt because the whole piece was like half hour or something. Whole album, right?
Yeah. It's a whole hour long piece.
So how'd you get together with Earthflesh?
Well, I guess everything I've done collaboratively sort of stems from Graham. Contributing to stuff for Less Than One gradually led me to other people, and during the pandemic,
Let me ask you this, Zoe. Graham, how did you meet him?
He randomly reached out to me on Bandcamp. I don't know how he found me or what, but I guess he was...
I found him randomly, too. Maybe that's how he operates.
The way people find him.
But that's okay. See, that's one of the good things in the internet. We just don't have to spread lies and hate. We can actually meet cats we can collab with. And do art. Uh-huh. Yeah, interesting. No, but he's a doer. He's a cat that gets things going. He just flowed me a big old benefit thing he did for the Ukraine.
Yeah, that was a really cool project.
Yeah.
I was very, very thankful to be involved in that.
And so Zoe, he was the connect between you and Earthflesh?
Indirectly. He led me to this experimental music Discord server that for a while I helped moderate, and Earthflesh just showed up on there. And I don't usually do this, but his work was so incredibly layered and textural that I just had to reach out to him and be like, hey, would you like to collaborate? And yeah, he had some availability. So over the course of like, I don't know, maybe 8 months, we conceptualized that thing, put it together, and then went through several iterations of editing it down. And then he did this one final massive edit that compiled everything together. So even though we're both responsible for the sounds on there, that is Earthflesh, otherwise known as Bruno Silvestre Fabre, he put together everything in terms of structure. That's all him.
Wow. So you were like kind of the palette, and he was painting with you and his own stuff. Yeah, that's interesting. Do you have a place on the internet that's your own site?
At the moment, just the Bandcamp and my Twitter. I have a URL that I have not done anything with. Should probably do something about that.
Yeah, because it's like having your own fanzine. I mean, those corporate Truth. Telephone poles are all right for staple it up flyers to tell people about gigs and shit, releases. But when you have your own fanzine, nobody can get in the way of your expression. Anyway, just a thought. And especially if you're sitting on the URL. God, it took me years to get MikeWatt.com, that motherfucker. You know, they call them squatters, right? They just randomly fucking, these bastards. Anyway, what's your next plans for both Zoe and for iRolls?
Well, I've got a few things that I'll probably be releasing over the next couple of weeks that just been sort of sitting around in the wings waiting for an appropriate moment. And then I think it's June, there's a Queering Sound Festival going on at Rhizome that I'm going to be playing. Between now and then, going to be working on a collaboration with Graham that's in the early planning stages.
Yeah.
So I've got a few things.
That's great. And give me a little insight to your process. I mean, do you keep a big batch of sounds, like a trove, a library, or do you compose on the spot, or maybe you do both ways? I don't know.
Yeah, I try not to repeat myself if possible. So I do some stuff aleatorically. I do a fair amount of generating my own field recordings, just, you know, recording stuff around me, various ambiances and atmospheres and such. And, yeah, a fair amount of working with samples that I've compiled from elsewhere. Or sometimes, you know, using my own rudimentary skills to actually play an instrument here and there. And play in heavy, heavy quotes.
You know what I've noticed? A lot of experimental musicians have trippy ways of scoring. Non-traditional. Almost graphical. Are you into that kind of stuff?
Oh, absolutely, in terms of communicating it to other people.
Yes. Like when you did the collab with the Earth Flesh.
Yeah, I find visual scores can be really useful. A lot of times descriptors can be even more so, just like writing out a paragraph.
Yeah.
For the Earth Flesh thing, we sort of had this concept of abandoned spaces.
Whoa, okay. Some little negative fortitude. Well, look, I'm really curious about the next stuff you're going to bring to the world. So when you get a bunch of music, you know, album worth or something, will you come back on the show? We could play it and we could talk about it.
That sounds awesome.
Yeah, invites open, Zoe.
Thank you so much for having me, Mike.
Absolutely. Well, I like what you're doing. I want you to keep on keeping on. Brother Matt, thanks for your always essential aid and abetting. People, it's been February 1, 2023. It's hard to say. Edition of Wapito Show. Keep you back.